Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, September the 9th. We've had a lot of rain today. I mean, it was raining from, let's say, 1 o'clock forward. It was nothing but rain, and I got caught in a couple of those rainstorms this afternoon. At one time, I was on 183 West, which is one of the highways that connects Dallas with Fort Worth, and it kind of goes by the airport as well. Maybe you're familiar with it. If you're in the Dallas area or if you've ever traveled to the Dallas by airplane and you've had to take a taxi, let's say, or an Uber to go to a hotel, it's very likely that you've been on 183. Well, I was on 183, and I got caught in one heck of a storm. It was coming down. I'm telling you, it was really coming down. And then later, about a couple of hours later, when I was coming back north, once again, I got hit by a pretty good storm coming out of downtown, right over I-35, going north over by the American Airlines Arena, where they play hockey and they play basketball. So I had a taste of the rain today, and we sure had a lot of it. And we're going to get more tonight, and we're going to get more tomorrow morning. I think it's going to eventually stop midday on Thursday. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about President Trump. He has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and I think it's a deserved nomination. He may not get it, but I think the nomination is very much warranted because of the diplomatic work that he's been doing in the Middle East. You know, he's done a couple of things in the Middle East that are pretty amazing. You know, the deal basically bringing the UAE and Israel together, and that's not the kind of stuff that happens every day. And it's interesting because people are saying that there may be other deals. You know, once a deal is done, others apparently will happen. And exactly why this is going on, I guess I'm not an expert on the Middle East. I follow it like everybody else from the outside. And, you know, whenever we get involved, of course, I follow it. But by every account, it was a very significant accomplishment by President Trump and his administration. So I think he clearly deserves the nomination. Again, whether he'll get it, I don't know. There's always been a certain I'm not going to say anti-American, but it's been always some kind of an anti-Republican nature to these judges. Remember when President Obama was elected, that he was given the Nobel Peace Prize like in the first few months of his presidency? The guy had literally done nothing as president. He had only been in for a few months, and he was already being nominated and being given the award. And it became almost an embarrassment for Obama because, you know, when he went to accept the award, it was like, okay, well, here's President Obama. What did he do? Well, not really anything. I mean, other than, of course, we don't like President Bush, and we hated President Bush, so we're going to give it to Obama. So that turned out to be a bit of a joke. In fact, even to this day, I don't even think Obama even mentions that on his resume. And whenever he goes around, nobody says, here's the Nobel Peace Prize, President Obama. Now, there was another president about 100 years ago, and that was Teddy Roosevelt. He was given a Nobel Peace Prize. This must have been one of the first ones that they gave out. But he was given a Nobel Peace Prize because of some work that he did when Russia and India had a war many years ago, and he got involved, and I guess he helped settle that war. So he was given the Nobel Peace Prize. And again, I'm not an expert on the Teddy Roosevelt presidency, but what I hear, what I have read about it a little bit, is that it was very well deserved, that particular Nobel Peace Prize. But anyway, President Trump is going to be nominated. I don't think he's going to get it, honestly. I don't think he's going to get it simply because, you know, what can I say? Those kinds of awards usually don't go to conservative presidents, even though I think sometimes conservative presidents do more to promote the peace in that region because they're tougher and they are tougher with our enemies. than many of our liberal friends. But anyway, that's just an opinion. But he's not going to get it. I would be very surprised if he wins the award. But I think it's great that he has been that he's been nominated. And I think it when somebody like President Trump, who's not exactly very popular with the European elites, I don't think very highly of the European elites. I think most of them have been defended by the United States for the last 50 or 60 years, and I don't think they've ever really appreciated the work that the United States has done defending these people. But anyway, the mere fact that he was nominated, I think, tells you how important this diplomatic accomplishment was. So we congratulate President Trump on those two wonderful diplomatic achievements. Well, I guess it must be the election season because we have a new book about President Trump. I have never seen more books written about a sitting American president than President Trump. It seems like everybody has to write a book about him. And I understand why. The guy is, he's polarizing. I get that. He's the kind of guy that you either love or hate. So those kinds of figures, I guess, are going to be more, they're easier to write books about, I guess, than somebody who doesn't do anything. But this new one is by Bob Woodward. Now, Woodward, of course, for those of you who remember Bob Woodward, he's written a bunch of these books, by the way. And my experience is two things about these books. Number one is the stuff that they promote the book about. Usually they talk about this book is this and this book is that. And it turns out then that when you read the book, it doesn't live up to expectations because I think they tend to exaggerate what the book is saying just to sell books. So that's been the way it is with other books. In this particular book, he is going after President Trump over COVID. And he did some interviews, I guess, with President Trump back in February, just as COVID was coming into our political vocabulary. And, a lot of people are saying that this book demonstrates that President Trump did not take the virus seriously. But even Bob Woodward is now pushing back, saying, no, that's not really what I said. So my guess is that this book is going to be around for a few days. Bob Woodward will get a ton of interviews. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to happen. Because I think most Americans, and I'm going to put myself in that category. I'll speak for me. I think a lot of us are immune from these attacks on President Trump. I think the attacks are so frequent. They're so vicious. I mean, it's like every other week there's an attack on this guy. Every other week there's a book. Every other week there's an article. That I think it becomes a little bit like the boy who cries wolf. That after a while people say, oh my God, another book about Trump. Oh my God, another article about Trump. Now, if you hate Trump, then you'll go out and you spend $30 to buy this book. And that's just the way it is. But I think most people are probably not going to read the book. And if they read it, they'll pick up the used copy because there's going to be a ton of used copies of this book at Amazon. Because a lot of people are going to read this book and find out that it really doesn't say what they're telling you that it says. And it's going to fall short of anything that it claims. So if you're going to go out and you're just going to spend $30 in this book, my recommendation is don't do that. Don't do that. Just go out and watch the interviews that he does on TV. I think there's one with 60 Minutes on Sunday. He always does 60 Minutes interview. Bob Woodward always gets an interview with 60 Minutes. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, there's going to be one this weekend. I'm probably not going to watch it. But if you want to find out about the book, watch it. And then don't buy the book. Wait about 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll get yourself a used copy for a heck of a lot less money. And the used copy is going to be—it's going to tell you as much as the new copy is going to tell you, which is that there's really not much substance. Nothing will change because of this book. That's all I'm saying. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I have a post over at the American Thinker on Wednesday morning about the article in the Atlantic magazine. And I have another one coming out Thursday morning, again, about the magazine article. You know, the editor of the article, Jeffrey Goldberg, is saying that the reason that they didn't want to release the names of the four people, the four so-called sources, is because these people were afraid of everything they were going to, you know, all the hate that they were going to get over a tweet. And so in my article, I say, okay, fine, just give us the name of one. Just give us one. And we'll promise not to tweet anything too hateful. But the problem is that the arguments of the editor is saying, it's interesting what he's saying. He's saying, I know it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to do these stories without sources or, you know, with anonymous sources. But I felt that the public had a right to know. Well, I also feel that the public has a right to know, but for a different reason. I think we have the right to know who is slandering the President of the United States like this. I mean, if anybody can go out there and slander the President of the United States over a story like this, I think the American people need to know if the person doing the slandering is in fact a real person who actually heard the conversation, because everybody else who was there didn't hear it. Apparently, the only people who heard it were these four sources. And the editor says, well, we want the nation to know. The public has a right to know. Okay, I agree with that. The public has the right to know if this is an honest story, because we're slandering the President of the United States about something very serious, what he allegedly said about troops. So if this is a slander, and I think it is, I think we have a right to know who's slandering the president. The American people have a right to know whether it's a true story or not. And that's what I'm calling for. They need to release the name of at least one person out of those four, and let that person take the fire on television shows and so on. But this idea that you can slander somebody and you don't have to put a face or a name behind it, I think most Americans agree with me that that's very bad journalism, and it's also very ugly and dirty. Well, here in Dallas, our police chief is going to be resigning effective November, and there are other police chiefs around the country who are leaving also, and there's a lot of policemen who are retiring early, and I think that ought to be a message to all of these blue city Democrats that whatever they've been doing for the last couple of years with the police is not working, that they're making the job of a police officer almost impossible. Now, look, it's already very difficult being a police officer. When you're out there dealing with criminals, that's very bad to begin with. I mean, you literally put your life on the line every single day. But if on top of that, we're going to have politicians who, for the benefit of a cheap political shot, are going to be, in a sense, stabbing the police in the back, I think you're going to have a very hard time finding anybody who is going to be working as a police officer in many of these blue cities. And who in the world would want to be chief of police in one of these cities? Oh, somebody will take the job. Some political hack will take the job. But the reality is that we're really hurting the police. And these blue city Democrats are hurting the police, and they are truly damaging the citizens of that community because they need a strong police. And these politicians are tying the police's hands. And they're also hurting the citizens because the crime is going up. Well, on this day in history, very interesting little tidbit here from our history books. On this day in history, a baby was born in the White House. The first and only baby born in the White House. And that was in 1893 when little Esther Cleveland was born. She was the daughter of President Cleveland and First Lady, I can't think of her name right now, but the First Lady and the President. And she is still the only baby born in the White House. Jackie Kennedy had a baby when she was in the White House, but apparently, as I recall, he died in the hospital, so I guess that doesn't count. But little Esther Cleveland, the only baby born in the White House, 1893. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto. Talk to you the next time.